Welcome to Sava FC Soccer Podcast. This is Anthony, and I'm with
Antonio. What's up, everybody?
What's going on, Antonio?
Not much, man. Just we're recording on a Friday, 2 days away from the final of the 2020 Euro Cup. And yes, it's 2020 because it was supposed to be played last year.
Correct.
Even though we're in 2021. I just, honestly, that's all that's going on. It's all I can think about.
Right. I mean, for me, I was kind of hoping it was Italy versus Denmark, but we're going to get an Italy versus England.
I will say, though, I'd rather play England in the final.
At Wembley Stadium in London, England.
Yes.
While they have all their fans there.
Italy was a serious underdog, and from our last podcast, you guys all know we're biased towards Italy, but Italy was a serious underdog in this tournament because nobody had them at the top to be a favorite. England was. Right. England was the second behind France as a favorite to win this thing.
Right.
So, what better way than to kick England out at home in the final?
You'll be hearing a lot of the 1980 England versus Italy match, this, that, and the other thing. But 1980, 2021, or Euros 2020, two totally different teams.
Two totally different teams. And I'll be honest, all I've been hearing for the past 2, 3 months, 4 months, whatever it is, English fans saying, it's coming home, it's coming home. And to quote Kasper Schmeichel, the Denmark goalkeeper, has it ever been home?
No, it's never been home.
Never. They've never won the Euro. So I don't know what's coming home if it's never even been there to begin with.
Right. So I guess we'll touch on the Denmark-England semifinal game that happened yesterday.
Hell of a game. That's all I got to say.
You know, I think Denmark got a little unlucky.
I can agree with that.
I think the PK in the 104th minute, I think it was, of the game.
Well, before we even get that far, let's start with the beginning of the game.
You know, back and forth for about 15 minutes, although England did put a lot of pressure on them for the first 15 minutes.
For sure. And there's one thing that England has up top that, you know, it is dangerous for a team like Denmark, and it's that speed.
That speed. You got Sterling.
Sterling up top, absolutely.
And
you got a bulldozer like Harry Kane, when he starts running, is surprisingly fast, you know?
Saka and Mount, these kids are super fast.
Absolutely. I mean, if we look at Denmark's own goal, right? They classified it as a Denmark own goal because Kjær knocked it in. That play happened purely because of England's speed.
Right.
First, the intelligence from the midfield to be able to play that ball into the right place with, who was it that was running onto it? Was it Sterling?
It was Sterling.
Sterling that crossed it in? To be able to see that play the ball into that area, run onto it, and be able to hit it across, phenomenal, right? And it all happened so quick that Denmark was retreating. And, you know, Kjær tried his best.
Actually, no, Sterling was running with Kjær. It was Mount who crossed the ball, I believe, to Sterling in the middle.
Was it Mount that was on the outside? Regardless of whoever it was. I mean, that play just happened so quick. That's the reason they were able to score.
Right.
And that's what people have to take into account when playing in England. It's the speed that's going to get you. Their style of play isn't anything crazy. But when it comes to the pace that they play at, forget it. It's a problem for teams like Denmark because right. They're so used to being bullies and aggressive. You right. know what I mean?
I mean, you say bullies and aggressive. I think they had, what, 16 fouls for the
16,
game?
18 fouls, something like that.
And that was just the regular.
In regular time,
yeah, 90
right?
minutes.
Right.
So, you know, the game started out pretty fast for England. They almost had one, and I think in about 5 minute mark, Kane crossed one from the right side of the box, and if Sterling was maybe 4 steps faster,
yep.
he would have put one behind the net there.
I mean, in the first half, at least first 15 minutes, this game almost looked like a match of ping pong.
Right.
It just kept going back and forth,
yeah,
you
after,
know?
Yeah, after the 15 minutes, it was back and forth,
yep.
until the 30th minute.
The 30th minute, you're talking about Mikael Damsgaard.
That's right.
Man, let me tell you something. So, Damsgaard obviously plays in Serie A for Sampdoria.
Right.
I watched this kid play one game, and I'm in a fantasy Serie A league, soccer league.
Which I'd like to get into
Yeah, absolutely. We're probably going to have some open spots this year, so I'm definitely going to put you into it. So I'm watching a Sampdoria game last year. And this kid, I believe it was a game he came off the bench. He hadn't started yet. And I'm watching him play, and I go, holy crap. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Like, he was one of those guys to me that I see him playing at Sampdoria for a year or two, and then he's going to get bought out by a big club. Like, right. You remember how Zielinski with Udinese ended up coming to Napoli, yeah. And what's his face that ended up going to Juventus, the guy that was on Parma.
Where's he from? Nationality?
I want to say he was on the Sweden... Kulishevsky.
Oh.
Kulishevsky, okay? Same thing, you know? He played great at Parma, ended up going to Juventus. To me, I was like, Damsgaard is going to be a player who's going to do great 2 years at Sampdoria, and then he's going to get bought by, like, an Inter or an AC Milan. Right.
I could see, like, Juventus picking him up since they're getting rid of Ronaldo now.
Nah, we'll see if they get rid of Ronaldo. Nothing's... it's in the air, but nothing's been decided yet.
So, anyways, at the 30th minute, he takes this shot and
fire
upper 90,
like
a little more center to upper 90, but there was no way he was getting to it. I mean, he extended.
Listen, Jordan Pickford's a good goalie.
He extended out there, but there was no way.
Jordan Pickford, if that ball was an inch lower, not even an inch, a centimeter, let's say a centimeter lower, Jordan Pickford would have made that save.
Right.
But the thing is, Damsgaard took that free kick with such power and such speed that Pickford never got the shot. And it was the placement of it, too. The placement of where he put that ball, right underneath the bar.
You know what I wish? I wish that not only did they have the cameras behind the nets, I wish they had, like, a couple mics so you can hear the ball rolling down the net, you know? Like,
forget that. I want to hear the players' reactions. You know how the NFL does mic'd up Sundays? Yeah. I want to hear what these players have to say after something like that.
And for about 6 to 8 minutes after that, Denmark dominated the game.
For sure.
And that was pretty much the whole time throughout both regulation and extra time that where they were dominating.
For sure.
We head down at the 37th minute, and you're talking about Kane before.
Yes.
I mean, he's brilliant. I love watching him play. I follow him with Tottenham.
And he's amazing.
Yeah, he crosses it to Sterling. And looked like Sterling hit it. Unfortunately, it was an own goal by
Kier. But hold up. Before we get to that play, we were talking about Damsgaard free kick that ended up in a goal. Before that play where England scored, there was a free kick given to England. I forget the exact minute, but there was a free kick given to England in almost the same area. Wasn't it right a little bit before they scored the goal?
I'm trying to think.
Or am I confusing it at some later point in the first half?
Could have been later in that first half.
Either way, before we talk about the own goal, this free kick, it was Sterling that took it, okay? Who we hear so much about Sterling, all right? Top player, world-class player. He wasn't able to do what Damsgaard did. And who knew about Damsgaard, besides obviously Denmark fans and Serie A fans, before he scored that goal in the semifinal?
Who's heard of him?
Who's heard of him?
I mean, I heard of him.
But you're a Serie A fan.
Right.
You've watched AC Milan play Sampdoria on Sundays.
Right.
But, so,
you know, I've heard of him before that, too.
Who else? Not many people know who Damsgaard is, but everybody knows who Sterling is. And in the same situation with a similar opportunity...
No, we're not talking about Scott Sterling, the goalkeeper from...
No.
Oh, okay.
Sterling couldn't deliver, is what it came down to. On a free kick, similar to Damsgaard.
But usually, and this is what... boggles my mind. Usually, Mount is taking those free kicks. So I'm not sure why Sterling took it.
I mean, I couldn't explain to you. Obviously, Southgate knows something that we don't for him to have Sterling take it over Mount.
Well, we did get another free kick from England at the 47th minute of second half where Mount takes one at 25 yards and doesn't amount to anything. And it's just back and forth.
Right. But this is what I'm saying. Those free kicks... It helps on a team to have that player that could take advantage of those opportunities, right? Like, you look at Napoli, for example, and I just have to hit on Napoli because it's what I know the most.
Right.
But you have Insigne, you have Mertens, you even have a Mario Rui that most of the time can make something happen off those situations. Damsgaard made it happen for Denmark. England used to have probably one of the greatest set-piece takers ever. Beckham, right?
Yeah.
Who do they have now?
Don't know.
That's why I'm not too... Listen, England is one of the better teams in this tournament, but I'm not too impressed with them.
I'm not impressed with them either. But, you know, it goes back to, we'll get to that afterwards. We'll get to why we're unimpressed after we talk about this game.
All right.
At the
56th. Hold up. Before we dive into the second half, let's go back to Kyrie's own goal, because we didn't really touch on that too much. In your opinion, do you think there was anything that Kyrie could have done differently?
No, I think it happened so fast. He tried to lift it up over, and it just couldn't happen.
See, the way that I saw it, though, I really feel like Kyrie could have cleared that to the outside.
Well, so if he went to the left, Sterling was there.
No, right. But I'm talking about if we rewatch that dive, okay? Granted, it all happened so fast, and I get it. But when he dove in, okay, it's one of those simple clearances where you just kick it to the outside and you give your team a chance to regroup, come into the box, and be able to defend whatever's about to happen next. It was unlucky that the way that the ball bounced.
Right.
But watching that scenario in my head just made me question, what would have happened if Kyrie made that save and they would have went into halftime at 1-0 still?
I think that obviously the momentum would have changed. It would have been completely different coming back into the second half.
Right.
But I'll have to go back and watch it and see if I agree with you on that, because watching it, it just happened so fast. I think he realized after it happened that he could have done exactly what you were saying, and that's why his face looked the way it did.
Right. I mean, listen, nobody ever intends to put it in the back of their own net.
Let me tell you something. This team, the unity they have. You see a lot of these national teams, when you get an own goal, these guys, they don't play together on their club teams. You know, they only see each other a few times a year.
Right. Kyrie plays for your AC Milan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And good player.
He hits an own goal, and the whole defense comes over to go, hey, get up. It's over. It's done with. Forget about it. Let's pick ourselves up.
Right. Well,
imagine if this was some other team. They'd probably be yelling at each other.
Right.
You know?
Well, we have to touch on that. Kyrie, to me, has been one of the best players of the tournament, but not only for just his play on the field, also for what happened when Christian Eriksen went down.
Right.
So I believe the Christian Eriksen incident happened against Finland, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so their first game against Finland. And for those of you that don't know, Christian Eriksen, amazing player. He used to play at... It was at Tottenham.
And then
he came over to Inter Milan. So Christian Eriksen with Denmark, first game of the Euro tournament. Believe it was in the first half. He goes down.
Right before the first half was over.
Correct.
Yep.
Goes down. He had cardiac arrest on the field. And if you watch his video, you can see that something was wrong, because he had just made a play on a ball, released it, and the way that he fell, it's almost like as if you saw the life leave his body when he hit the ground.
It did. I think they performed CPR on him for 8 minutes before they brought him back.
They did. Yeah. I mean, it was scary.
But if it wasn't for Kyrie.
Right. So the reports right away that Kyrie got involved with the CPR and then getting the whole team around. So the camera crews, obviously, which is wrong. I hate the fact that the cameramen were trying to get in to see what was happening.
That's screwed up, right? They want to try to get the camera on
Eriksen.
But yet, when somebody comes streaking across the field, they turn the camera away.
Right. I'd rather see some butt and boobies. Don't show me a guy having a heart attack.
Exactly. For the poor kid, the poor kid's family's watching the game.
Yep.
Imagine what his wife and parents are feeling like, and the camera's trying to,
zoom in and show this guy with all of his life leaving his body. But besides how messed up the camera crews are, Kyrie, as a true captain, got the team around together. They formed a wall, basically, right, to protect Eriksen until the help came and he got what he needed. And he was also the one consoling Eriksen's family afterwards. Sure. And he was the one consoling his teammates. That's not something easy to do.
No, not at all.
You know, but as a true leader and captain.
And friend.
That's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
That's what I loved about this Denmark team so much. And it started with Kyrie, and it was their unity.
Yeah.
It was just from that first game all the way up until they lost to England in the semifinal 2 days ago. It was just amazing to see what they were doing and how they were playing. And it really reminded me of the 92 Denmark team that won the whole thing.
Right.
That team, once again, was just United. And I believe there's a movie out on Netflix about that team.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of it, but now that you say that, I remember when I was skimming through it, I saw something.
Yeah. So there's a movie. I recommend everybody to watch it, and it'll show you how that team came together. If I'm not mistaken, the coach actually decided to not call up one of the best players in the world at that time for that Denmark team because he preferred unity over talented players who wouldn't buy in to the concept of team.
I get it. I get it. You know, it was a pleasure to watch them play in this Euro Cup. And they're going to go far in the World Cup for sure. And hopefully, Eriksen will be back.
I hope so.
There was a player from Netherlands 2 years ago had the same incident happen. They gave him a stint, same exact procedure he had.
And he's back playing professional.
He played in this Euro Cup with Netherlands.
Do you remember who the player was?
Oh, yeah. It was Daily Blind.
Daily Blind? Okay. I mean, hey, anything is possible, and we're rooting for Eriksen. We hope the guy makes a recovery, comes back full force.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
What's he, 27, 28 years old?
He's 29.
Still young.
The world needs to witness him playing football more because he's just amazing at it. All right. So enough about us loving Denmark.
Exactly.
Let's get to the end of the first half. So the end of the first half ended 1-1. Total attempts, I mean, listen, the first half was even. They both ended with four attempts each, right?
Yeah.
One goal each. Both teams had two shots on target.
And, you know, the ones that that didn't go in, both keepers had some nice saves.
Right. Denmark had one more save than England, so Schmeichel was put into action a little bit more, but Schmeichel's another one, man. What a keeper. You know, he, in his own way, has become a Leicester City legend, right? His father, Peter Schmeichel, same thing with, played for Denmark, but he was a Manchester United legend. So these guys from Denmark going over to England, making themselves known, and then showing up in the big tournaments. I love it. I absolutely love it. The only thing that we can say England won, which they are the better team at the end of the day,
right,
is possession. Yeah. They outpossessed Denmark 60-40.
Right.
So,
and it did show. I mean, they were just one touch passing it, but it was all within the center of the field. You know, it was every now and again they would go into the final third, but that was it.
But let me tell you something, Ant. You and I both know from playing the game, watching the game, and everything else that comes along with it, where do you win? You win in the middle of the field.
You do. But going back to Italy, Spain, it was almost a contradiction, right, of what we're talking about.
I get that, but Italy, Spain is a one-off game because, and I will never admit this again, but Italy should have lost that game.
I said it that they got lucky.
Right. It helped us that Spain couldn't finish.
Right.
So.
But we also have the best goalkeeper in the world.
I agree with that.
That helped us.
I agree with
tremendously.
That.
Tremendously.
I agree with that. All right.
Anyways.
So moving on. Now to the second half.
Starts off just like a regular second half. They get a free kick on the right side, 25 yards out. Mount sends it in, but doesn't really amount to anything. You get that? You like that?
I do like that. I like that a lot, actually.
Then we get a shot from Denmark, which I thought this was going to put them ahead at the 52nd minute. You had, I'm going to butcher his name, this poor guy, Dolberg.
You said it right.
Hits one from the top of the 18, but Bickford just makes a fantastic save.
See, you're talking about, you know, Donnarumma being one of the best goalies in the world. I love Pickford too, man. I think Pickford is that good. The only issue that I have with Pickford is he like a Joe Hart, where if he were to leave and go play somewhere else, he's going to be nothing.
Right.
So, but listen, Pickford's been showing up for England this tournament. There's no denying that.
Again, more free kicks. There was a lot of free kicks in the second half. A lot of fouls. We discussed it before we started recording. Denmark had 16 fouls on England.
Right, but so, you know, Denmark had 16 fouls on England, but when they played Belgium, it was the same thing. They had 14 fouls on Denmark. As much as we fell in love with them this tournament, they are a smaller team, and they have to be physical.
Right.
They don't want to give up those fouls, but in order for them to stay in the game, yeah, their physicality is going to show, and we're going to see more fouls given to them because of it.
Right, and on this one, Mount crosses it to Maguire, who heads it. And when I tell you, it was definitely, it can go down as like the save of the tournament. It's down bottom left-hand corner, and
yep.
Schmeichel just scooped it up,
yep.
Blocked it. It was unreal.
Well, we'll get to that one afterwards too, but Schmeichel actually, I believe it was in stoppage time, had another save that was out of this world.
Right. back and forth, 14 minutes, you know, go by. It's just, they make a sub for, I guess, the fan favorite of England, Jack Grealish. I don't know why they love this guy so much, but they love him.
What's there not to love about Grealish? Grealish, I believe, is how they pronounce it. What's there not to love about him, man? I don't understand where this guy came from. I didn't really hear much about him up until this season.
I didn't really hear about him until this tournament. I mean, you hear things here and there, but...
No, I mean, even before this tournament. So Jack Grealish is playing for Aston Villa.
Okay.
Which, granted...
At one time, they were a powerhouse.
Yeah, one time. But as of today, you know, you don't really hear much about them.
No.
Kid's 25 years old, and I have to be honest, I haven't followed the Premier League as much as I used to. I've really been engulfed in Serie A these past few seasons. But I started reading a few headlines, and I kept seeing this name, Grealish. And it almost reminds me of, remember when Gareth Bale started coming onto the scene?
Yeah.
This scenario is reminding me of the same exact thing. There's no way this kid stays at Villa. He's going to end up going somewhere big.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's good.
25. The problem I have in both games that he came on during the second half, the fans go absolutely wild, and Southgate pulls him. He pulled him in extra time.
Yeah.
Why? Don't understand. I don't get it.
Listen, it's not for me and you to understand. Whatever happened, Southgate was right. They won that game.
He didn't. He wasn't really of any. The person he subbed him in for didn't do much after that anyway. So,
but maybe he knew Grealish didn't have enough left in the tank.
I think he was recuperating from a shin injury too. Now that I think about it,
so it could be.
Listen, just answers my own question.
And it's even not even having to do with the injury, but you know what. Major tournament play experience does Grealish have?
None. A lot of those players don't.
Some of them, though, have been competing in Champions League and Europa League for a long time. Right. For a long time. You know, Grealish playing for Aston Villa has missed out on many of those opportunities.
Sure,
yeah, in England they have, like, what is it, the FA Cup and all those other stupid cups that they do. I literally hate all of it.
You know,
but
even though he didn't really get a chance to shine in this tournament, every time he stepped on the field, you can hear how much the fans love this guy.
Yeah.
So he might not have been able to shine where, like, some clubs are looking at let's throw out a name here, Sterling, right?
Okay.
He does fantastic, and now PSG wants him because they saw how well he played. Whatever. Some teams might go, hey, we need to bring somebody who's going to make our fans stand up. You know, you bring somebody like that in there, changes the tune of the crowd. You know, can change the direction of the season.
Right.
But anyways, so from that point on, you know, both teams had a couple of chances, but it really was back and forth. There was nothing of any kind of consequence for the rest of the half. I mean, that was at the 68th minute.
Yeah. I mean, look, it was back and forth, but in a sense, it seemed back and forth because of possession-wise, okay? If you really look at the amount of opportunities that were created, England created a lot more.
Sure. Well, they are also the more dominant team.
But it's not even about that. What I'm saying is England had many opportunities to close that out in the second half.
They couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it. And, you know, it comes down to, you mentioned they had a couple free kicks. You know, they don't have that set-piece specialist. They don't have anything that makes them so dangerous in the second half. Even though they're creating, they couldn't finish, and that's an issue.
Right.
I believe in the second half, they had what? So they had 10 total attempts on goal compared to Denmark's one.
Well, yeah.
But out of those 10 total attempts, okay, we're talking about the amazing saves that Schmeichel made, right?
Yep.
Only 3 of them were on target. So if you're taking 10 shots and only 3 of them are on target and the keeper saves all 3, you're not that dangerous.
No, you're not. And Schmeichel, he's a great goalkeeper, but... we're going to go back to Italy. How do you compare him to Donnarumma?
Well, here's the thing. We'll have to find out what happens on Sunday. But Schmeichel did his job, man. I got nothing against Schmeichel for this game.
No, he did phenomenal. They all did. They all played great.
Right,
they
but I just I refuse to compare him to Donnarumma right now because you know what? Take Schmeichel, throw him in behind Italy's defense.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we'd get the same results.
So I'm looking at some stats that we're going to get to after we're done talking about this game, because it's pretty interesting. But, you know, we go into extra time, and this is where everything changes.
Yep.
Everything changes for Denmark.
Yes.
We get to the 101st minute of extra time, and Sterling, I don't know, some say took a dive. Some say he got hit. I think it was a little bit of both. You know, he got a little tap. He went down. And he won the PK. That's just the nature of the beast, right?
Here's my issue. As a referee in the age of VAR, how do you give that PK? How?
I don't know.
I rewatched that clip over over.
Do you understand when I said England playing at Wembley in London? That's why Denmark was at a disadvantage.
Yes, maybe, but it's not because of the referees, okay?
If the referee went back and looked at it and really looked at that.
But VAR has to tell the referee to go take a look at it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, because he's also a referee too.
Right, so if VAR agrees with the call on the field, you don't go watch anything.
No, you don't, but VAR is supposed to go, hold up. It's 101st minute of the semifinal game of the UEFA.
Here's my question. Maybe we just don't see it clearly from the camera angles. Was there contact?
There was a little contact, but some people say it could be the slightest bit of contact, and they're still going to call the foul.
Right. So from what I've been seeing, it didn't look like there was contact. Right. But maybe there was, and they saw that on the field, and we don't see it. Listen, officiating up until this point has been good. The games that I've watched of the Euro, it's not like watching Serie A where every Sunday I'm swearing up a storm because these referees are awful.
And they're getting paid off.
Right. Well,
by Juventus.
Listen, let's not go there. Calciopoli happened a long time ago.
Honestly, they've done a pretty good job. I've had some questionable calls that they've made. But other than that, they've done a good job.
Right.
So good job. So, you know, I guess for me, if he saw something from his angle that we couldn't see from our couches, he's getting paid to do the job.
It will forever be a heavily debated PK.
But what comes after this is the biggest problem I have with all of it.
All right. Go ahead. What's the biggest problem you have?
Schmeichel's getting ready, right? Kane is ready to line up. All of a sudden, Schmeichel's fighting off against a green laser dot in his face, in his eyes.
Which is BS.
Don't understand how they're going through the gates. I'm sure they have to empty out their pockets. I mean, I had to when I go to Yankee Stadium.
Are you kidding me? Have you ever been to a stadium in Europe?
No.
What gates?
They don't.
Do you have to empty out? What? Bro, when I used to go to the Napoli games on Sundays, there were guys that would climb up to the roof and watch from there or hop into the stadium that way. There's no security or gates or...
Anyways, if the green laser wasn't in his eye, this is my thought process. Is he able to get a hold of that ball instead of just bat it down? You know, it's just going to be one of those things.
Look, you're looking at the little things way too much right now. Kasper told the referee about the laser, okay? But at the end of the day, he dove. He made the save.
He did. Beautiful save.
Beautiful save, okay? He saved the PK. Kane was just able to knock it in.
Right.
You can replay that scenario out 100 more times, and 99 of those times, it's going to be the same thing.
Could be.
Because Harry Kane is a vulture.
Remember, Dr. Strange said to Iron Man, there's only one. One time. So you say 99 times, it could have been that one time where he caught the ball. That's the one time I'm playing in my head. I feel bad.
Right. To quote Dr. Strange, what if this is what needed to happen in order for Italy to win the 2020 Euro Cup?
You're right.
This was the only way. The fan favorite Denmark had to get eliminated. Because listen, let's be real. England fans, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but you already know this. Everybody hates England. So of course, besides Switzerland, okay? Switzerland hates Denmark more, so they were definitely rooting for England over Denmark.
Right.
However, was it Sweden or Switzerland? One of those two. That's besides the point. Maybe it needed to be Italy-England in the final.
Hey, everything happens for a reason, right?
Listen, are you on TikTok at all?
Not really.
All right, I have a post. I'll probably post it for everybody else to see. And this came out, I want to say, 3 weeks ago. And there's a guy on TikTok. He doesn't have any other videos shared. He just has one video shared, okay? And the video says, I'm a time traveler from the future. Italy wins the Euro Cup against England 2-1. And it's a video clip of Italy playing against England. And I tried to go online and find
Why am I hearing about this now? Why haven't you told me about this?
Well, I was afraid you'd go bet the house on Italy, so I decided to help you out there.
Because I was going to tell you my prediction for the game was Italy winning 2-1.
Yeah, well, this video claims he's a time traveler, says Italy will face England in the final, and Italy will win 2-1.
Well, I got to see that video. We'll have to analyze it, so then if we have to go put money on the game, we can go put money on the game.
At this point, listen, I don't bet on my favorite team. I don't. It's just superstition, but I can't. Either way, how did we get to this point? Oh, yeah, we were talking about the PK penalty. Save. Listen.
So, Kane puts it in the back of the net. The rest of the extra time doesn't matter.
Doesn't.
And that's it. Game over.
But that's where England is stronger. Right. England is stronger where if they take the lead, they could close out the game.
That's what they did. They just possessed the ball for the remaining time and closed it out.
All right. Why don't we take a little bit of a break, and we'll come back and we'll discuss Sunday's game. All right, and we're back. And finally, quick little preview for Sunday's matchup of Italy versus England.
That's right.
All right, so game's taking place at Wembley in England.
In England.
3 p.m. Eastern time over here on the East Coast.
Yep.
It's going to be 9 o'clock over there in Europe, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so.
No, I just looked, and luckily none of the officials are from England, so.
Well, I don't think they'd be able to do that. No, I actually believe the officials cannot be Italian or English. English,
correct.
Yeah, so listen. This is going to be the first time England has been in a Euro Cup final.
Right.
For Italy, I believe it is going to be the fourth or the fifth. I can't remember exactly, but, you know, we've won it once, we've lost the other times.
Right.
So here's to hoping that this time will be different for Italy. England, this is actually a little fun fact, they're the 13th country to reach a Euro final, because obviously since this is their first time, they're a new country. Newcomers Greece and Portugal did it in 2004. And then Yugoslavia made it twice, but they lost. They did it 1960 and 1968. And then Belgium made it in 1980, but they also lost.
Okay.
So Greece and Portugal both won it, you know, even though they were newcomers to the final. Listen, man.
And Portugal did it back-to-back.
Did Portugal do it back-to-back? I don't remember.
I don't remember. It sounds so familiar in my head. I'm probably completely wrong.
I'm not sure. We'll fact check that for everybody. Either way, it's been a while since Italy won it, and England has never won it.
It's been a while since Italy's won any major tournaments, too.
Well, 2006 is still pretty... It's less than 20 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I'm okay, but I'm okay with not having won anything since 2006, but that needs to change on Sunday.
It does. Absolutely. And then they need to carry it over to the World Cup.
The World Cup next year. Absolutely. All right. So what are your thoughts on this match for Sunday?
My thoughts are they have to play completely different than they did against Spain.
How so?
I think they need to play the way they played against Belgium, against England. You know, Spain matched them speed for speed. So like we argued in the last show, I said Italy wasn't fast enough, but going back and watching it, you were right. Spain literally matched them speed for speed, and that's why it looks so slow.
Yep.
I don't think England can keep up with that speed.
They can, though. And the biggest... Now you can make fun of me because I'll agree with you on one aspect. Their speed is going to be disastrous for us on the outsides. Because with Di Lorenzo and Emerson or Toloi, or even Cristante could play that position, whoever's going to be coming in, it's going to be dangerous. Do you remember what Doku, the like 18, 19-year-old from Belgium, did to Di Lorenzo?
Yeah.
Listen, England's got that same speed, if not better. So it's going to be dangerous.
With Saka and Sterling and Mount, those guys are fast.
Yeah, so we're literally going to have to...
And I think where we're going to expose them with our speed is in the middle, their back line.
Possibly.
Maguire's good, but he's not as fast as Insigne. He's not as fast as...
Chiesa. Bernardeschi, if he ends up playing.
Even Belotti, if he comes in.
Right, but what scares me is those guys are like brick crap houses.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They're just solid if you look at England's center backs. So what I'm worried about the most... Hold up. Frank.
Yo.
You're live on Sava FC. Any predictions for the game on Sunday?
My prediction... you heard it here first. 3-1 Italy.
3-1 Italy. Okay.
We scored late 80th minute on a counterattack when England's really pushing ahead to tie the game up.
Okay. All right. Do you think England's speed is going to be a problem for our outside backs?
I don't think in the first half. I think we're going to hold them pretty well. Maybe a few scary attempts. But I think probably like 50th to 70th, where we're going to get a little nervous at times.
Okay. All right.
That's what I got.
You guys heard it here first.
Thanks for calling in, Frank. That's Frank from Kujin Podcast.
And Frank, I will be home in about 20 minutes, and then we can head to the movies.
Sounds beautiful.
All right, see you soon.
Later, guys.
Bye. All right, everyone. So Frankie from Kujin Podcast is calling it 3-1 for Italy. Pretty similar to the Time Traveler and Anthony calling it 2-1. So we're talking about the speed. Insigne, here's what needs to be different on Sunday, okay? Ciro Immobile needs to do more. My buddy the other day put it best. He said a country of 60 million people and we can't find one damn striker that can put the ball in the back of the net?
I'm raising my hand like a impatient
student. Go ahead, speak, speak.
I know this is going to sound crazy to you, but this is what I would do. I wouldn't start him. I would start Belotti over him and then put him in the second half.
I agree with you. I think it's what we've all wanted.
I think Belotti could be the hero of this game. I would love to see him put in two in the back of the net. Even though I love Chiesa, I would love to see Belotti put two in the back of the net.
So I told you my predictions 2-1. I think Barella and Chiesa are going to score.
Yeah.
So those are my guesses for who's going to score for us. However, Mancini won't do that.
No, he won't.
And you want to know why? He won't sit Immobile because he released a statement, I believe it was about a week ago or maybe 2-3 days ago, whatever it was. He said it's usually the most criticized player in the tournament that ends up resolving the game or the final for you.
That's not true because Marotta proved him wrong.
With who?
Proved his theory wrong because Marotta for Spain was the most criticized player of the tournament.
You're talking about Morata.
Marotta. He was the most criticized player from Spain.
I don't want to hear it because Morata is the only reason they ended up going into extra time against Italy, or else it wouldn't have happened. So Morata did his job. It was just unfortunately, listen, we talked about this last week. PKs are a crapshoot, okay? You can't blame Morata for missing his PK. And it wasn't even that he missed it. Donnarumma just saved it.
Right.
Donnarumma did phenomenal on it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if his theory is correct.
Listen,
I would love to see Belotti put two in the back of the net.
But it's not, we're talking about Immobile.
I know. I'm just saying, you sub him out and Belotti comes in and scores two. That's what I want to say.
But you know what? I love Mancini. I trust him. Maybe Immobile comes in, starts and puts three in back of the net.
Oh, who knows? That'd be nice. I'd like to see a nice little blowout. That'd be nice.
We never know. Listen, Frankie said three. He didn't say who was going to score. Maybe it's all three from Immobile.
Maybe.
Mancini knows what he's doing, man.
He knows. Obviously, otherwise he wouldn't have that job, right?
So, exactly. So as much as I am unhappy and displeased with Immobile, and so are many of other Italians in Italy and around the world, maybe he sees something that we don't.
Maybe. We'll find out.
So for England, I actually see them giving us hell in the first half.
Yeah.
Listen, their speed, their strength, it's going to be an issue for us in the beginning.
What I think is going to help Italy prevail is their one-touch passing, their finesse passing, that pinpoint accurate passing that we talked about. That's what's going to help them prevail.
You're talking about Italy?
Italy, yeah.
Well, all right. So this helps us, though. Who do we have controlling our midfield? Jorginho. So you brought up a stat before. How many miles has this guy covered in the whole tournament so far?
44 miles.
Okay. So not only is he all over the field moving around, there's one thing key that Jorginho does, very similar to Pirlo. And it's he controls and dictates play in the middle of the field, okay? And his vision, his accuracy, it's all there. And if there's one thing that Italy has going for them, it's that Jorginho plays against these English guys all year long.
Yeah.
And he just won a Champions League with Chelsea.
Right.
Jorginho can help us in this game. But England's midfield is also physical, so it might slow down our play a little bit.
It could, but, you know, we'll see. Try to do some quick math here. So there's six games, right?
Right.
That led up to this seventh game. So, like I said in the last podcast, when I said about 8 miles a game.
Yeah.
So he averages 7.3 miles a game.
Yep. It's impressive, man. It's absolutely impressive. So. And Jorginho, listen, one of our starters against Spain when we went to the PKs, he was one of the main guys that was still out on the field by the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, Insigne had come off. Chiesa had come off. Chiesa, although a little bit of injury. Immobile had come off. Like, these guys are our PK takers, you know? Right. And they were off.
Yeah.
Jorginho was there.
He was there. Anyways.
But either way, we're just hoping for a good...
good game.
Yep.
A lot of goals. I'll take the 2-1.
3-1, like Frankie said.
I'll take it. I hope to be jumping up and down with my boys. See a video of you jumping up and down with all of New York City.
Yeah, so I will be at Ribalta on Sunday watching the game with my cousin Josue. And apparently they shut down the street. It's in the East Village. And they have 3 maxi screens ready to go. And we'll be watching the game outdoors.
Nice. Hopefully you put some videos on TikTok.
Yeah.
Instagram, Facebook.
We'll upload it everywhere. Upload it everywhere.
And we'll see you guys Monday. We'll give you a recap of the game.
Just a fair warning. If Italy loses, it might take until Tuesday or Wednesday.
That's true. And don't forget to subscribe, hit the like button, leave a comment.
We appreciate you all, and enjoy the rest of your day.